And welcome to Missouri Freedom Radio. I'm your host, Grant Warren, and I believe we're supposed to have Cynthia Davis on the air tonight. Cynthia, are you there?
I'm here. Yes, it's all good.
Oh, okay, good, good. Well, before we get started, I just wanted a really quick comment on the Obamacare decision by the Supreme Court to everyone out there listening. Unbelievable, but really it's not unbelievable because when does the government ever put a check against their own power? They almost never do. So before we get started really quick, I hope everyone out there is thinking about states' rights, because in our Missouri Constitution, Article 5, Section 3, it says that the Missouri Supreme Court has jurisdiction in all cases and that it is the final authority on federal laws or federal treaties within our state's borders. I'm paraphrasing that, folks, but you can look it up. And I'm going to go ahead and just let our guest, Cynthia, comment on that. How are you doing tonight, Cynthia?
Well, first of all, I'm glad to be with you. And, yeah, our state has to stand up and be brave and proud and strong and fight with everything in us to serve our citizens. It's really about taking care of our people and maintaining our autonomy.
But I agree.
Let me just say about this Supreme Court deal. I can't fix the Supreme Court. I can't fix the federal government. What we can fix is Missouri. And I'll tell you, you have to pick what can you win. And the Supreme Court did not cause this problem with our country. It was the Congress that caused the problem. It was the elected officials, not the unelected Supreme Court, but the people who we elected. America as an aggregate sent a Congress to Washington, D.C., who was willing, ready, willing, and able to put us into a very bad economic decision. And the only way we can fix it is very simply by having Congress unravel the mess they made. So when you tell your children, you made a mess, now I want you to clean it up, you have to monitor it. You don't tell your kids, look, you just messed up the room, I'm going to go away and you just do whatever you want. Because they're not going to get it right unless we, the people, help them. The biggest disappointment for me is how few elected officials understand basic economics, because that's what this comes down to. And the goal of the left is to create dependency on government. And that's exactly what they did with Obamacare. It is going to create more dependency than we've ever seen before. And it should actually make us all bring out the fight in us and say, no, you went too far. That's enough. That's enough now. We put up with it. We're going to stop it. So we can stop it in November if we want to get good people in office.
Well, hopefully you'll be one of those good people that will get into office. I do have a couple of questions for you. One question, I'm sure a lot of our listeners would like to know this, is why run for lieutenant governor instead of governor? You've got a pretty big name, and your credentials are really good, I think. Why lieutenant governor instead of governor, and why the Constitution Party?
Thank you. Well, we started off when I began getting involved in politics, it was really just to help make things better where I could help. My husband and I opened up a Christian bookstore in O'Fallon, and we did so because we asked ourselves the three questions. What is something our community needs that it does not have, that would help raise the moral fiber of the community? And then the answer was, well, let's open a Christian bookstore. So that was the beginning of Back to Basics Christian Bookstore. And that was 23 years ago. And we were open 2 years when the city of O'Fallon made a bad decision to shut down Main Street for 12 weeks before Christmas. And they put signs out on the interstate that said O'Fallon closed, use alternate routes. Well, there's an old principle that goes like this. The quickest way to bring people together is to take bread off their table. And that's what happened. And the business owner said, we've got a problem. We can't get customers. What are we going to do? I came just out of curiosity. At the time, I didn't know who my local officials were or my state reps were. And so I was one of those. I said, what can I do to help? And they said, how about we appoint you to be the chairman of the legislative committee? And I said, well, that's all well and good. What does that mean? And they said, well, you have to go to the Board of Aldermen meetings and report back to us every month what they're doing next to ruin our lives. So I thought, I can do that. And you know what? Everybody can do something. Everyone who's listening to you or me has something we can do to make our communities better. So after doing that faithfully for a solid year, I came back one week and I said, folks, we cannot change city government until we change those people in those seats. And that's when somebody said, well, then why don't you run? And, you know, we all can ask ourselves the question, we should be either running or we should be helping somebody who's running. That is the way we're going to change the political dynamics. So for me, again, you know, what it began with is how can I make a difference? And I was in city government. I got elected to 5 terms, and I enjoyed it. I have to say, there's something very satisfying about feeling like you're making a difference. Now, I was the Lone Ranger, even on my O'Fallon Board of Aldermen, and a lot of people don't realize it, but their city government is usually dominated by those on the left, even on that level. So I was the only one who spoke out against tax increases, and I was the only one who spoke out against government taking over our private sector trash hauling, and I was the only one frequently who sided on the part of what are we going to do to actually help people and not grow government bigger. And you know what, though? When I was in city government, I had an opportunity to run for state government, and when I was in state government, of course, I saw that the real problem is federal government. That's funny. But the real problem is we all have problems on all levels, and it's the same common thread, and it's this. All governments tend to be greedy and seek to extract the maximum possible from the citizens. And if we can just understand that, it will help us interpret what else is going on. So I love my city, I love my state, and I love my country. And I care enough about God, family, and country to do what I can. So, Lieutenant Governor, your question is, why Lieutenant Governor? My opinion, I don't believe anybody is going to be successful against Jay Nixon. I'm not predicting anything. I'm just giving you my gut feeling. The old expression is nobody can beat an incumbent, and incumbent can only beat himself. And there are no scandals surrounding Jay Nixon. He's doing everything he said he was going to do. And that's basically it. In fact, there are a few times when he has spared us of bad legislation that was unconstitutional that he vetoed. And this year, he proposed a budget that was $1 billion less than what the Republicans passed in the legislature. So you ask, how does stuff like that happen? Well, he's been a fairly respectable Democrat as far as Democrats go. And I served under him, under Matt Blunt, and under Bob Holden. So I can judge the quality of the governor. And he's really not been the worst possible. I think we need to get away from attaching labels and saying if somebody's a Democrat, he's automatically bad. And if he's a Republican, he's automatically good. So that's not serving us well. We have to ask, who's getting us where we need to go, and what fraternity club are you a member of?
Yeah, Now, I do see, looking at your information, your bio, if we can call it that, that you're a very strong supporter of traditional family values, and I wonder if you could comment on, you know, there's several moral and religious leaders have talked about the destruction of the family unit, and especially, you know, we have so many fatherless children out there, and I wondered if you could comment on that, and if you know anything about the father's rights movement that's growing out there, and just your thoughts on all of that, and what you'd like to see happen in that area of families.
Well, do you know that a third of our budget approximately is being spent on social welfare?
I didn't know that.
And that's considerable. So the vast majority of that budgetary item is directly relatable to the breakdown of the family. If everybody in Missouri would just live, grow up nice, obey their parents, be chaste until they're married, and then stay faithful to their spouses, raise their children to be happy and healthy and holy, we could have a stronger economy. But when you look at the opposite spiral happening, you have people who are perpetuating a cycle, a downward cycle, and the government has to come in and try and pick up the pieces. That's costing us a lot of money. When people get divorced, it costs, the average divorce costs Missouri approximately, the taxpayer, about $20,000 a year. And that's not every divorce. There are variables, but taken as an aggregate, that's what the average comes out to be. So that's why the government has to get involved. It's costing us money. Did you know where is the most dangerous place for a child in America?
Well, I don't know.
In the home of a single mom with a live-in boyfriend. Statistically, those children are at risk just by that dynamic for being abused. And there even was in Missouri within less than a week ago, there was the same scenario, a child who had isn't going to survive to adulthood now because the live-in boyfriend, sometimes people just, you know, it's not the way it was supposed to be. And boyfriends tend to be jealous, and there are all kinds of factors that factor in. But a natural dad isn't going to be as likely to abuse his child. And a live-in boyfriend doesn't have that natural love for the child. And so the other thing is that we're paying so much money because not just of people who get divorced, but people who don't even get married in the first place. And by computer model, when the quickest way to lift a child out of poverty is for his mother and father to get married, and when they marry a mom and dad of a child by computer, 80% of the time the child is lifted out of poverty without any government intervention whatsoever. So just from a purely economic perspective, we need to sit up and take note that there are some policies we have that are disincentivizing marriage, and those are not serving us well. They're costing us money, and it's time for us to stop it because we're interfering with a sacred institution.
Okay, we're coming up on a break really quick. It's just going to be a 30-second break that we have. When we come back, we'd like to hear your thoughts on private education, you know, homeschooling, things of that nature, what you think the state's role ought to be or maybe ought to not be in education. And we would also like to talk a little bit about states' rights and interposition and your thoughts on those subjects. So if you can hang on just a minute, we're going to go to our break, and then we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Cynthia Davis, and I'm running to be your Lieutenant Governor. Help is on the way. Are you ready for principled government? Then let's raise the iron shade and let the sun shine in. I will be the one to hold them all accountable. I received an award for being the most constitutional legislator in the state of Missouri. So join me in the fight to get our state back on track. Go to VoteCynthia.com. I'm Cynthia Davis, and it's time for a constitutional Lieutenant Governor.
All right, we're back, and our guest today is Lieutenant Governor candidate Cynthia Davis. We're taking your calls also. If you want to call in and talk tonight, our number is 347-215-8710. And Cynthia, are you there?
I'm still here with my favorite people.
All right. We were wanting to know, what are your thoughts on, you know, the homeschooling movement, which really seems to have taken off, as well as there are some private schools out there. There's a lot of people who say, oh, it's a bad thing and the state ought to put a stop to it, or the state ought to have more oversight of it. What do you think?
Well, there's a tremendous amount of disdain from the elite class of professionals who don't understand homeschooling and, again, want to control, micromanage, and manipulate us and create a sense of dependency. Well, you know what? My husband and I have seven children, and I can attest from firsthand knowledge that you need different approaches for different children. So some of our kids did very well with being homeschooled. Some of our kids were in private school. Some of our kids were in public school. And not for the whole child, for the whole year, for the whole course of his education. We've adopted a variety of approaches because different times and different seasons, kids need something different. So the best thing we can do to give our Missouri children the best shot at life is to keep all those options available and open and respect the parental choices. I got my eyes opened on what people thought about parents when I filed the bill to allow parental rights. It just really was simple. It said in one glorious sentence, it is the natural and fundamental right of parents and legal guardians to direct the care, education, and upbringing of their children. And, I mean, it was just that simple. Do you think that would cause controversy and a great deal of dispute and consternation in the Missouri House of Representatives?
Oh, maybe in the Politburo.
I laugh because I can't believe that something that is such a no-brainer as parents should let their kids take care of their kids and have responsibility for their kids. Why is that one of those things where the legislators have to scratch their heads at all? And yet it really upset and tortured a lot of people. I actually brought it up as an amendment on another bill at the end of one session, and the senator whose bill this was attached to was so upset, he would rather have thrown his own bill in the trash than to let his bill pass with my amendment on it. That's not as funny to you as it is to me, apparently. But I'm like, what? He was in the minority party. He didn't even want his, once that bill got attached together, he's like, well, then we won't even have a conference committee. We're not going to take up his bill. So it's okay. You know what? Parents need to be free to, first of all, think about this. Moms and dads love their children more than the state, and it will always and ever be that way. Government cannot love a child the way a mom or dad can love his or her own child. So it's
absolutely
absurd to assume state can tell us what's in the child's best interest. And we cannot legislate because of anecdotal evidence that somebody one time was a bad parent, and therefore we need to rescue all the children from their bad parents. That's wrong. And we as Missourians should fight against that attitude because it's really showing disdain to the good parents of Missouri. So I filed a bill, several bills I did, that allowed people to keep a portion of their real estate tax that would have gone to their school districts if they can prove that they spent that money on the education of their own children. And why wouldn't that be able to pass in a Republican-held legislature? Can you explain that one to me?
I don't know. It must be... must be some special interest money coming in from somewhere. That's my thoughts.
Stuff like this would happen, and I would say, what? Wait a minute. Okay, this, I thought I was working with a body of Republicans who believe in limited government and personal responsibility and being fiscally conservative. And yet actions speak louder than words. The whole 8 years I was there, we saw the budget get bigger every year, and we saw government become more intrusive. And if we don't wake up and watch out and pay attention, we're going to have worse problems. So you cannot judge a person by the party. You need to look at their actions. And that's why it was such a special surprise when the Young Conservatives of America came up with a methodology for rating the legislators based on their voting records. And while I was in the chamber voting on all these bills, I had no idea anybody was even watching. And what's interesting is, if you look at who gets the awards, it's usually the people who dole out the favors to the special interest groups, and they have their offices lined with plaques and trophies, and they're the greatest thing that ever hit the planet. But that's not working out well either, because it's not an accurate reflection of how they took care of the people in their district or how constitutional they voted or how they held the plumb line straight. And that's what it comes down to, is I won this award for being the most constitutional legislator in the state of Missouri. And it was really special for me because, you know, we just don't usually win awards. But there is a group out there that takes note. And what I hope to do as Lieutenant Governor is have a study group in my office where the legislators can come and we delve into the legislation so that before the vote happens, because, you know, so often it's too late. By the time people get done, it's over.
All right. Well, we've got time just to really cover one more subject, and then we're going to have to go because our time will be up for the show tonight. What are your feelings on the states' rights doctrine of interposition? I mean, do you think the state of Missouri, for instance, has the authority and an obligation to interpose on behalf of our citizens over things like the federal health care takeover? And I'll just give you we've got about 3.5 minutes. If you want to just go for 3.5 minutes, the floor is yours.
Yeah. Well, let me just remind you that it behooves us to first look at what we need to do to help our economy and keep our country strong and our state strong. And about the interposition, we owe it to the citizens to do everything that's legally within our power to protect our state and protect our state sovereignty and not dissolve into a hand-wringing, armchair-sitting state where we just watch our rights be trampled on every day. And of course, the Constitution clearly says anything not mentioned in the Constitution is up to the states. And health care is not mentioned in the Constitution, nor is insurance. So we have to just be as strong as we can and send the strongest message. It's like the squatter's law. If somebody's squatting on your property for 7 years, he gets the right to that property. I don't agree with it, but hey, you know, I didn't make up that rule. Well, the federal government has been squatting on our rights, and nobody's ever pushed back. And how do you handle a bully except you have to stand up to the bully? And when we finally, yeah, we got to stand up. The whole state of Missouri is longing for us to put on a show like they've never seen, and that's what we're all about. Let's be the show me state.
Absolutely. All right, so we're coming up on the closure. We're going to be done in about 1 minute. I just want to tell everybody out there, her website is votecynthia.com. I encourage everyone to take a look at this. She has been endorsed by the Missouri Right to Life, by the way, and I think that's the first time they've ever endorsed a non-Republican or Democrat candidate. So, folks, if you're out there and you're thinking, gee, you know, I hadn't made up my mind about voting yet this year, or even if you think you have your mind made up, I'd like to ask you to reconsider. Go to www.votecynthia.com. And looks like we're out of time. Cynthia, thank you for being on tonight.
It's a pleasure. I hope I get to come visit with you again sometime.